Amen. You're preaching this morning.
Hallelujah. We already got the preach going on. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we just get a shout of praise right now? Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Woo. It's going to be a quick harvest. Quick harvest. Hallelujah. Quick harvest. We're already seeing it roll in. We're already seeing it roll in. On a Wednesday, I talked about the extravagant sowing that we had done for that last weekend during Faith Explosion, but also for Ricky and I's life, and how the two scriptures that Dr. Edwards had spoken before he took up that offering for us dealt with quick harvest. Both of those dealt with quick harvest and how we need to build our faith and believe what God's trying to do in our life to be able to bring in that quick harvest. Hallelujah. So glory to God. We're already seeing it roll in. Better get ready. It's going to be quick. Better get ready. Amen. Yeah, we are preparing for our harvest. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. So also, Ricky had to work all this last week, so he had asked me if I could do Wednesday and Sunday and had a little bit more time to prepare. And so after Wednesday, I'd been kind of praying, okay, Lord, which direction do you want me to go on Sunday? And I kind of just heard, well, get ready for the harvest. Well, Lord, I already preached that on Wednesday. What else? You know, he said, you know, are you ready for the harvest? I'm like, okay, Lord, which direction do you want me to go with that? Because if he's asking again, then we need to be saying, okay, Lord, what are you wanting to do with this? And he said, is the church that I have put in you and your husband's hands ready for the harvest? Whew. Glory to God. Lord, Father God, let us see through your eyes. Let us see your heartbeat for the harvest that we have, that we are in contact with every single day. Yes, Lord, that you are setting us up to, for people to look at us to know that we serve a good God. Lord, let us go out. Hallelujah. Let us know that this is what you want us to do, that this is what you need us to do. Are we ready for your harvest? Are we ready for your people? That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for this time in prayer. We receive it, or this time in the word. We receive it by faith right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, if we can get up Luke 10:2, we're going to be staying right about there. We're not going to go too far. So just kind of have that handy and ready. Luke 10:2. Amen. Okay, let's go in the King James. Let's do King James, please. Luke 10:2. Therefore he said unto them, this is Jesus talking, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Can we look that up in the Amplified also, please? Amen. Therefore, and he said to them, the harvest indeed is abundant. There is much ripe grain, but the farmhands are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Amen. The scripture is saying the harvest is great. The harvest is abundant. The harvest is plentiful, one other translation says. It is great, is abundant, it is plentiful. There has been one great lie that I believe the church all around the world, not just our church, that Satan has been telling the church. Oh, no, the harvest isn't ready. Oh, it's not ready yet. Oh, no, it's not ready. You're going to be pushed away. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be mocked at. They're going to think that you're that crazy Christian. You're going to make Jesus look like a weirdo. That is a lie from Satan, and we have exposed the lie. And this is not only here in this church, but other places too, because we know that there is a harvest coming, amen? There is a harvest coming, and we need to be ready. Amen. This church needs to be ready. Amen. So we're not going to believe that lie any longer. We're not going to believe the lie that it's not ready yet, or that we're going to be mocked, or that we're going to be pushed away. When we hear that, are you telling me that the world doesn't want to stop hurting when we work and live around people that we know are hurting? Jesus said he comes to heal the brokenhearted. They need Jesus. That's the word that they need. You're telling me that we work with people all around us and our families and our neighbors, and they don't want to be delivered from alcohol and drugs and depression and hatred? No. Everybody knows that. They need to be delivered. We have the deliverer. We know Jesus. Amen? They need to see that. Jesus says, I have come to set the captives free. Hallelujah. People that we look at every day are yearning. They are searching for something real, something that's actually going to change them, something that actually will really change them from the inside out, that will really make a difference. And we know that. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, he's trying to tell the church this lie because how we view the harvest is how we're going to react to the harvest. If we think that, oh, we still have time for the harvest, then we're not going to have that urgency. Like a farmer, he has an urgency. Oh, the harvest is almost ready. He's going out there every day. He's checking. Okay, is it ready yet? Is it ready? Oh, I think next week, it might be ready. But if he's listening to a lie, someone comes in, oh, no, it's not ready yet. You don't have to worry about it. He's going to miss that harvest. And that's what the church has done, not anymore, hallelujah, has done in the past of Satan coming up, telling a lie. Oh, it's not ready yet. It's not ready. Oh, you can relax a little bit. It's not ready yet. We're not going to believe that any longer. Hallelujah. We know. We're going out. We're checking. We're seeing. But also, let's go to John 4:35. It's funny because Satan doesn't have any new tricks up his sleeve. He tells the same lie over and over and over again. And he was telling this lie way back when. So let's go to John 4:35. And you can just do King James Version for this, please. Hallelujah. John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Okay, can we have the Amplified in that also? Thank you, Mr. Richard. You are doing an awesome job. Do you not say it is still 4 months until harvest time? What's the lie? What's the lie that's being told right here? It's like, oh, no, you still have 4 months until the harvest. Same thing. Same thing. Satan's trying to tell them that he's trying to tell us in the church. It's the same thing. Do you not say it is still 4 months until harvest time? Come, look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are ready, white for harvesting. Jesus is talking again and says, look, I tell you, the lie is exposed. Hallelujah. We know the truth. It's too late. The truth has been told. Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are ready, white for harvesting. And that's what Jesus tells us today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't have any more time. This is it. This is the time. There is no more time. This is the time. And there is a great harvest coming in. So we're going to stop believing that. Satan's been exposed. We know the truth. Hallelujah. Jesus says the harvest is ripe. It's plentiful. Hallelujah. So it's not, okay, I did write this down. It's not the harvest that isn't ready. It's us. It is not the harvest that isn't ready. It's us, and we need to fix that. We need to change that. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go back to Luke 10:2. Hallelujah, glory to God. We're just going to read it together again. And he said to them, the harvest indeed is abundant. There is much ripe grain, but the farmhands are few. And I kept reading that, and I'm reading that the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And every time I was kind of taking apart this verse and seeing what I need to speak on, and I just kept on, my heart is grieved because of those words. Jesus is telling us that the laborers are few, and I'm like, Lord, this shouldn't be. There are thousands and millions of Christians around the world. Why are you saying this to us? Why are the laborers few? This should not be. What do we need to do to teach them? What are we not doing as ministers, as teachers, as a church where we build up the believer? What are we not doing that we need to be doing, Lord? What do we need to be? How do we need to train the few? What do the few look like, Lord? What does this look like? So the Lord gave me a funny thought. All right. So this is what I saw, and it's a little bit comical, but he said, these few are not going to be bringing in just a little bit of the harvest. We think, oh, a few harvesters are going out and we're only harvesting a little bit. That's not what it looks like. These are going to be like harvest ninjas, okay? This is going to be like, I mean, highly trained. This is going to be, their sickles have been sharpened, all right? They are strong. They are precise. They have been highly trained. They have been highly taught. They are bringing in a mighty harvest. So we need to get that thought out of our mind. But, oh, the harvesters are few, so they're not going to get all of the harvest in and, you know, that kind of thing. No, these are highly trained. The few are highly trained. These are harvest ninjas, if I can say it like that. And it's just God puts those things in your head so you can remember that easy. You know, when we read the scripture, we're going to be thinking about this a little differently now. Like, oh, yeah, there's a few, but, oh, they're mighty. They're strong. They are bringing in a great harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, look to your neighbor and say, you're a harvest ninja. Never thought of myself like that before, but glory to God. We're bringing in a mighty harvest. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Luke 10 again. Luke 10, 2. We're going to read the last part of that verse. Glory to God. So we don't need to be thinking about that few as something little. We need to be doing our job and training up properly and being ready and being strong and going out and doing that. But we don't need to be sad because, oh, there's only a few. We don't need to be looking at it like that anymore. Amen. All right. So Luke 10, 2, and let the second portion of that, so Luke 10, 2b, pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. So first of all, we have to pray. We got to do something. The Lord says to pray. What have we been doing here at Spirit Life Church? We have had an overabundance of praying for things. We have prayer groups. We have prayer on Tuesday evening. We have been dousing this in prayer. We have upped our prayer in this church, and we are going to see mighty things happening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he first says, pray ye therefore. But also, I got to kind of look into this a little bit. And I started looking into some of the Greek meaning. So pray ye actually is deomai. D-E-O-M-A-I. Deomai. It means to desire. It means to ask for. It also means to hope. And I wish in America or the English language, we use hope in a false way. We use hope as wish. Hope does not mean wish. The Bible, hope does not mean wish. Hope is something on the inside that gives you, that deals with vision. And if you've ever heard Dr. Ricky talk about hope, it will turn your life around the way you look at the word hope. It is powerful. It is something that has to happen before anything else can happen because you need that hope. Amen. So hope deals with vision. It sounds a lot like faith, that if we were to really piece this out and read it in the Greek, it kind of sounds like this. Well, we also know other scriptures that say faith is the substance of things hoped for. Huh. The evidence of things not seen. As Jesus is speaking this out, he is putting this in faith. He is saying this. He's not, oh, Lord, if they're, please, please, let the laborers, the few laborers, be ready. No, that is not what this means at all. Amen. Why have we been taught that in the church? I mean, we read this verse. This is how we take this verse. It does not mean that at all. Jesus speaks by faith. And we can kind of read it like this. By faith, the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into his harvest field. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark 11, 24. Glory to God. He's not saying, oh, pray, pray, pray. No, 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 no. He's speaking faith out. Amen. it means have that hope. He is saying a word that says there is hope. There is that power of hope, that vision, that visual. He is seeing it happen. That is faith. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, so whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. Again, that is Jesus speaking. That is Jesus speaking. And we see this verse and it says, pray ye therefore. Whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. That is faith. He is saying that with faith. And guess what? He is applying this to us. He is praying for us. He has already said that out in faith and spoken that out. And guess what? That's us. This is the last and final harvest. Hallelujah. And we will be ready. And we are harvesters, highly trained and mighty in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He spoke that out. Maybe he was even seeing us. This hope, this vision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everything in the kingdom works on faith. We know that with faith and through faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we can read this whole verse totally different. I mean, it's just, we're seeing so much through this of what Jesus was really speaking out in this. Let's go back to Luke 10, 2. Amen. Glory to God. Because we need to be on it. We need to be ready. Hallelujah. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. We know those few are mighty, amen. Pray ye therefore, glory to God, he's speaking that out in faith. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers. I also want to tell you what the word send forth means. I looked that up in the Greek. This was amazing. Send forth. Also, you can say sent out. What does this really mean? In the Greek, it is the word ekbello, E-K-B-E-L-L-O. It means, now, I'll say this in a second, it means to cast out. It means to drive out. It means to send out. When I looked this up, I was not expecting those words to be there. I was not expecting that. 45 times it was translated into English in the King James Version, 45 times when Jesus cast out devils. This is the same word. This is the powerful word that he said over that. This is that power when he's saying sent out. There is, this is also what it says, to drive out, to cast out. To compel one to depart. There is fervency, there is passion when Jesus used this word. It wasn't just a, oh, here you go, little children of the Lord, and going out into the harvest, you few little ones. No. That's not the word that Jesus used. If Jesus wanted to use a word, he would have used a different word. That is not the word that he used. He used the same powerful word that drove out demons. Hallelujah. That he's telling us, you are going to be sent out. You are being sent out. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. It's kind of like the feeling that when an army is sent out, when an army is commissioned, there is a shaking that goes on. Especially nowadays when everything is so connected. If someone's army starts moving, you start hearing it on the news. You start figuring out, well, what are they doing? What's happening over here? Why did they take this Bay Area over? What's happening? There is a shaking that is going on. And guess what? It's happening again in the spiritual realm. Amen? There is an army that is being sent forth. And there is a shaking that is happening in the world. Hallelujah. And there is a harvest that is ripe and white as far as you can see. And we are going out and we are bringing in the harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send out forth laborers into his harvest. We are bringing people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ. When the world has no more love to offer them, we know the true love, the mighty love of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus. Why is the world so sick? When we know a Savior, when we know the healer, when we know the great physician. Hallelujah. I mean, that's such an easy open door when someone's limping around or when someone's back hurts or whatever we hear at work from this or that. What a wonderful open door that we have. No, it you know, our church believes in healing. You want me to pray with you for that? You know, I believe that he can heal you. It's an open door for us to bring in that harvest. We need to be using that. Amen. Hallelujah. That the world needs to see signs and wonders and miracles. They need to see a move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we are seeing that. And it's not only in these four walls, but we are seeing that in other places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read one thing. Honey, can you go get me my phone, please? Thank you. He asked me if I need my phone beforehand. I said, oh, no. But actually, I do, because I want to read something off of it. My mom had sent me this. It was a little while ago now. But it was a quote. It was actually a prophecy from David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson, back in 1986, he had this prophecy. But this is also the same David Wilkerson that, thank you, that wrote the book The Cross and the Switchblade. And it was how he has a ministry and a church that is right in the middle of Times Square, New York, and how he was able to influence and bring in the gang leaders and things into his church and how that made a total change into their life. And it's a really amazing story. And if you ever get a chance to read it, you need to read it because it is amazing. But in 1986, he had a prophecy from the Lord, and he's not really a prophetic kind of evangelist. So, but he had a prophecy here. Let me see if I can look this up. All right, 1986, okay, let's just remember that. I see a plague coming on the world, and the bars and the churches and the government will shut down. The plague will hit New York City and shake it like it has never been shaken. The plague is going to force prayerless believers into radical prayer and into their Bibles, and repentance will be the cry from the man of God in the pulpit. Glory to God. And out of it will come the third great awakening, and that will sweep America and the world. Hallelujah. There is a harvest coming, and not only from this word, but from word after word after word from the Lord, and seeing how the people of the world are yearning for something. The harvest is ripe. This is it. We are the laborers. Hallelujah. And we have prayed, we're prayed up, we're trained up, and now we are going forth. We are being sent forth, this mighty, violent sending forth into the harvest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So are we ready? We have to think about this. Okay, if we really do believe, oh, you know, revival will happen, revival, we're gonna quadruple in numbers, and there's gonna be people rushing in, and there's gonna be standing room only and people out the door, and you know, and that just means, are we ready to be able to handle that? I mean, naturally, just natural things. The kids system of having kids in and out, the natural things that a church does. Are we ready? Are the ushers ready? Is our building ready? Is things that we know that we need to get ready naturally, are we really doing that? Because we can believe that all day long with, oh, I'm cleaning out my garage because I sowed a seed and I'm going to reap my harvest in the new vehicle that I'm believing God for. Okay, but are we doing that with the church? Are we doing that with the systems that we have to be able to connect to these people that are first time in the door? Do we have a system that we can connect to them and get them discipled? I mean, we have to be thinking naturally also. Is our church really ready for the harvest? If we were to quadruple inside, are we ready? Hallelujah. So we need to be asking ourselves that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Thank you, Father God, that our eyes have been opened and that we know the truth. And thank you, Father God, that we will believe no longer that the harvest, oh, it's not ready, it's not ready. But Lord, we know the words of Jesus. It is ripe. It is plentiful. It is abundant. But Lord, it's not the harvest that's not ready. Father God, is it us? Is it us that's not ready, Lord? Am I really ready for the harvest? Am I really ready to cast out devils and to pray for the sick and see them miraculously recover? Am I there in my faith? Lord, am I built up in your word to have an answer when they ask a question? Father God, show us. Search me, O God, from the inside out. And show me where we need to get stronger. Because, Lord, there is a hurt and lost and dying world that needs to know Jesus. And, Lord, that we will step up as the strong and as the few, Father God. But we are mighty, and we have the ability of God on the inside of us. And we are not just going to be bringing in a little bit of the harvest, but Lord, we will be bringing in a mighty harvest for you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that as we go out of this place, that you will show us how to love the people around us, how to show your love, how to reflect you in us. By making somebody a meal, by bringing them groceries, by just talking to them, by calling them on the phone and knowing that they're important, that we care for them. Those simple things, by sitting down and saying, hey, I was praying for you. Lord, let that be an open door. Holy Spirit, show us how we can reach the lost in our area and in our neighborhoods and in our family. And Lord, you are faithful to show us. You will be showing us. And as we leave this church, as we open up those doors, we are stepping into the mission field. Hallelujah. And the harvest is ready. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, then I want to introduce you to him. Hallelujah. That he has those answers that you are seeking. That he has the real healing that you need. That he hears your cry. That he hears your heart. He has seen your tears. And he cares for you so much that he died on the cross for you. And not only that, but he rose in 3 days and has the victory. And he did that for you. And there is an opportunity. If you need to really find that Jesus today, if that is you, then raise your hand, because I want to show you that Jesus. Not the Jesus that the world kind of shows you, but the real Jesus. And if you are watching on Facebook or any other way, get a hold of us. We want to give you those next steps. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for that. Let's just repeat after me. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son to die on the cross, to raise again. I believe that he is the Son of God, and he has given me the victory, that he has taken away my sin. And I am white as snow. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, amen. I'm going to have Pastor Clinton close up for us, and Pastor Ricky and I. Okay, leaders afterwards. And he pointed this direction, so I think that's what that means. Any department leader, go this way after church.